Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I want to read from verses 5 to 13. The title of the message is Hear His Voice. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 5 it says, And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, I wonder how many of us today are really hearing the voice of God, are really hearing the voice of God every day in our daily walk. Or he's shut out of our lives in many, many parts of our life. In our daily meetings with him every day, we should be meeting with God. We should be walking with him every day, whether it's reading our Bible, whether it's the preaching this morning, or whether it's in our own conscience as we live our life each day. Are we really hearing from God? You know, Paul is telling his Hebrew brethren and Christians today to take heed. Take heed, because in verse 12 it says, Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God and falling away from where you were. You know, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians who have gone away from God. And we need to take heed lest what happened to those in the wilderness would also happen to us. That we would not enter into that spiritual rest, which is the mature, growing believer. That we would fall short of growing into what God really wants us to be. My friend, if you're saved here today, you cannot lose your salvation. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about being saved. And all of a sudden you just turn yourself off from God and you don't hear anymore his voice. And you get farther and farther and farther away from God. Take heed, lest you fall like the Hebrews did in the wilderness. And they never entered into the promised land. That's not heaven. That was a spiritual rest. And your life becomes literally a living hell because you've departed from the living God. You know, it says Moses was faithful, but in verse 6 it says, But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian here today? Then you're one of his. We're not one of Moses' brethren in the wilderness. We're one of Christ's children. And I want you to see that in verse 7 it says, Wherefore? Then you're going to see a parenthesis. And the next time you see that parenthesis is in verse 11 at the end. So from verse 7 all the way to verse 11 is a parenthetical thought. Now that's a big word, and I only say it because it's just a thought in a thought. You want a commentary on Hebrews chapter 3? It's right there in Hebrews chapter 3. Because everything in the parentheses is explaining to you what happened in the wilderness. To the children of Moses, to those children that he tried to lead into the promised land. All of that. So you could actually read from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, Wherefore, straight into verse 12. Wherefore, take heed, brother. Why? Because now, read verses 7 through 11 in the parentheses and you'll see why. Because God doesn't play games like we do. God doesn't play games. God wants his people to pay attention to him, to obey him, hear his voice. He doesn't say things and not mean it. We've come to the place in the church today where we think God is just like us. And he's not. When he says something, he means it. He said, take heed, brethren, that you don't fall away from God and that you don't ruin your Christian life. Take heed, brethren, are you saved? That's between you and God. But you can't lose something you didn't earn. God gave you salvation. Now it's time to live it. It's time to live it. So he says, take heed, brethren. You know, sin in our lives is deceitful. And it hardens our hearts. It hardens our hearts. We think we're okay. Day after day goes by and we think we're all right. We're not all right. None of us. The longer sin takes hold in our heart, the harder and harder and harder our hearts get. That means it's compacted. We become obstinate towards God. We become more rebellious. We become stiff-necked and we don't hear His voice. I'm trying to encourage you today because that's what Paul's trying to do to his Hebrew brethren. Take heed this morning. Don't get hard-hearted. Don't be stubborn like a mule, because that's what a mule is. He's stubborn. And God's people become like that when sin gets into their life and they won't deal with it. Pharaoh's heart hardened. He thought he was going to tell God what he was going to do. But that didn't happen, did it? Because God's God. He's the Lord. And we need to be very careful about how we obey Him, that we obey Him. Look in verse 8. It says, harden not your hearts as they did in the desert, as they did with Moses. And you know what God did to them? In verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief. You just don't believe God anymore. You've lost faith in God. You're not walking with Him anymore. And then in verse 13, it says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. When we begin to neglect spiritual things every day, when we're not hearing from God every day, we hear less and less and less of the voice of the Holy Spirit. We begin to neglect those spiritual things that got us to where we are. Walking with God, we begin to neglect them. And we don't hear from God anymore. You know, the Spirit is trying to get our attention. This is speaking to us also. Because we're the house of Christ. He is our Lord. And we are His children. So, but exhort one another daily. We ought to be exhorting one another every single day. Walk with God, Bill. Walk with God, Tony. Keep walking with God. Encouraging each other. Don't stop believing. Because God doesn't play games. Our lives are going to go downhill if we think we can just go away from God. Don't harden your heart. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't tempt God. Don't think that you can make the error in your heart. That's what it said here in verse 10. They do always err in their heart. They make the error right here. They make the decision right here. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, you can go ahead and do what you want to do. And God steps back. And after a while, I don't know how long it's going to take before He gets tired of it. He takes some people home early. Goodbye. Taking you to heaven. You're a reproach. I know these are hard sayings, but I think we need to take heed this morning to what God is telling us in the Christian church today. Because we could wind up just like the people under Moses did. When they didn't think that God was going to do what He said He was going to do. You're throwing away your life, young person. Of course, most of the teens are down there in Carrigaline. But let me tell you, if you're here this morning, you think God doesn't know what's going on in your life? Are you kidding me? He knew what was going on in my life at 35 years old. Thank God He came in and saved my soul. God knows what's going on. God knows what happens in the dark when nobody's around. God's there. We need to be very careful. You know, in verse 12 it says, take heed, brethren, lest any of you be of an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. You know, we reveal our true condition. We reveal what's really in our heart or not in our heart. When we start going away from God, when we start taking in all this sin and start doing things that we know are wrong. You're revealing your true heart. Are you really saved? Or are you just backslidden? That shouldn't be an easy word for any of us to say. Because when you're backslidden, you are far away from God. And there's a point where you don't hear the Holy Spirit's voice anymore. And I believe there's a point where God says, I've had enough. And we're going to look at that. I've had enough. You know, if anything, I want to exhort you this morning. You know, there's another word called incite. I want to incite a riot. I want to start a riot. Well, I would love to start a riot in here of people saying, I got to get back to God. I'm away from Him. And I'm not fooling anybody, especially God. And I want to get back to God. I want to start hearing His voice every day. I want my heart tender to the things of God. I got a family that's looking to me for some help. I have brothers and sisters. I have a husband or a wife that's looking to me. I want to incite you today, encourage you with the Word of God. The title of the message is Hear His Voice. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I thank you for this passage here, Father. And if you would help me, I pray that you'd help me to encourage some people today. And Lord, we need to hear this. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each and every heart. Be glorified in the preaching of your word this morning, Lord. Take that one that's closest to just doing something they know they shouldn't be doing. Or they're involved in things they know they shouldn't be involved in. Would you speak to their heart? We can't make anybody do anything, but you can. You're a loving Heavenly Father. If there's somebody not saved here today, I pray they'd get on board. They'd see they're lost. So, Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation. All the way in the back of your Bible, the last book is Revelation chapter 3. Look in verse 14. Jesus writes to seven churches. Real churches. There were real churches in Asia Minor and where Greece is today in that area. And the last church he writes to is the church at Laodicea. Now many believe, and I believe with them, that these churches were actually pictures of ages. From the moment he went to the cross and he died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, and then he started his church. All the way up to today, those churches are periods of time in church history. Now I'm not going to go through that this morning, but nevertheless we're here at the last church he writes to, the church at Laodicea. And in verse 14, it says this, chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel, or the pastor, the ruler, the head, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is the age that we're in. This is the age that we live in right now, the Laodicean age. Another way you could say it, it's the carnal church. It's the carnal church. It's the Laodicea actually means the people rule or the people's rights. It's all about me. It's not about Jesus Christ and honoring him. It's about me. It's about what's good for me. And that's wrong. That's the church today. It's not about Jesus actually living a holy life, serving him. No, it's about me. What's in it for me? That's the Laodicean age. Hold your finger here and go to Colossians chapter 2. This was a real church. He's writing to a real church, but he's also explaining the age that we live in today. The age of that, the climate, if you will, the temperament of the church. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." This is a real place, real people, where churches were. Now look in chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 14. Luke 4:14. "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house." So there was a church there. Now we don't have the letter, but there was even letters written to them. And the letters were passed around. The letters that we read here in the New Testament. Because there was a real church. And they were real people. And Jesus says, "I know thy works." It's Jesus talking, because back in Revelation chapter 3, it says, "These things saith the Amen." These things saith the undeniable and unchanging truth. Capital T. It's Jesus Christ. He's the Amen. He's unchangeable. And he's also the faithful and true witness. If anybody's trustworthy, it's Jesus. If anybody's faithful, it's Jesus. In fact, that's his name, isn't it? It's written on his thigh, too, when he comes back in glory, the second coming. Faithful and true. And he's the beginning of creation. That doesn't mean he was the first thing created. That means at the beginning of creation, there he was already. He is the everlasting creator. All things were made by him, and there was not anything made that was not made by him. He is the beginning of creation. He is the creator. That's who's talking. That's who's talking to this church. And in verse 14, he said unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, "Write these things, saith the Amen." Sorry. "Saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." I know thy works. I know everything about what you're doing. That's what he's telling the church there. He knows everything, he sees everything, and he hears everything. So there's nothing that you can hide from God. And he's telling the church, "I know your works. I know everything that you've done, good, bad, or indifferent. I know every action, every deed, and every lazy day you spent not serving God, I know it." He knows the good, and he knows the bad. Nothing's hidden from him. He knows your attitude. He knows what nobody else can see. He can see your heart this morning. You can be mad at God. Maybe you could be mad at me. God knows. God knows our hearts. That ought to make us think that if he knows, why am I trying to hide things from him? He sees the hidden things. And he says, "You're not cold." He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold." You're not cold. It's not that you're not doing nothing. It's not that you've given up completely. It's not that you're so far away, yet you're not cold. You know, in Matthew 24:12, it says, there's going to come a day during the tribulation where the love of many will wax cold. And that's what's happened in the church today. It's like when you get hot soup or hot tea. It's so hot. What do? You blow on it. And little by little, it gets cool enough to drink. But Jesus said, "I can't even tell whether you're cold. You're neither cold, nor are you hot. You're not on fire. You're not zealous. You're not living every day for the Lord. You're not completely away from God. You're not on fire for God. It's like you can't tell. You're not living every day for Jesus. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit. That's hot. That's being on fire for God. That's walking with the Lord every day. He said, you're not there, and you're not cold, and you're not hot. But he says in verse 15, he says, I would thou wert cold or hot. I wish you were one or the other. But your life is totally unidentifiable. Jesus said, I wish we could identify exactly where you're at. I wish the people could see that you're not cold, you're not hot. We're not sure what you are. Now, Jesus knows, though. You know, the real thing is we don't see our own condition. We don't see our own condition. He says, I would you were one or the other. I wish it was identifiable. And then Jesus knows where you are, and he wants you to come back to him. You know, there's nothing like a cold drink of water on a hot day. And there's nothing like a hot cup of coffee. But you don't want in between. You don't want the in between. It kind of makes you sick. But I just want you to know from this first point is that Jesus knows that you're neither hot nor cold. You're something else. Look at verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So what are we? We're lukewarm. We're right in between. We're body temperature. And it makes Jesus sick. You're not on fire for God. You're not away from God. You're just lukewarm. You don't care. You're right in the middle. And it makes Jesus sick. You know, Jesus sees through the mask. He sees through the facade that we put up. He says, I know what you are. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're lukewarm. And no matter how much you try to hide it, Jesus can see it. You know, the actors, their old-time actors used to actually have a face they would put on because they would play many different parts. Two people could play 5-6 different parts in a play on stage because they would put up one face and they would act that part out. Then they'd go back and come out with another face and they'd act that part. That's the Christian church today. Putting on a face. Acting. You know what else they're called? Hypocrites. We're actors. We're pretending as if God doesn't know that our life is carnal and compromised and we're lukewarm. God knows. And he wants to spit you out of his mouth. Or me. Anyone that's going to say, I'm just going to go along in my Christian life, sitting on the fence. I'm just going to walk a tightrope. You can't do it. You can't do it. You're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord. So what are we? We're lukewarm. A lukewarm person is one that wants God, but he also wants worldly riches. I want everything the world can give me. And I want everything God can give me. Can't do it. Can't serve two masters. You'll either hold to the one and despise the other, or love the one and hate the other. It's one or the other. Can't be in between. A person that is lukewarm does halt between two opinions. You remember Elijah? When he came to the prophets of Baal and he told the people, he said, why halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal's God, then serve him. He said, there's no in between here. It's God or Baal. Who do you want to serve? But the carnal, lukewarm Christian says, I'm going to serve both. He can't. He can't. Only squirrels walk on the wires and fences and cats. Christians can't do it. You cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ and think everything's okay. God says, I'm sick of it. It makes me sick. Cares little for duty. It's a life of indifference. Don't you all love that new word? Or it's been around a while now. That word? Whatever. We all get caught saying it sometimes too, don't we? Whatever. What does that mean? Don't say it to God. Don't say it to God. God doesn't play that game like we do. It's not whatever. We're unconcerned about living a life of godliness. We have no thought about the glory of God, about Christ, about the truth that we're supposed to be living. We're just doing our own thing. And we think we're getting away with it. You know what it is? It's a life that is stuck in neutral. It's a Christian life that's gone halfway. They're compromising. You want it both ways. You can't have it. And it's a life that is stuck in neutral. You're not going forward hot. You're not going back cold. You're just sitting there revving the engine. Put it in gear. Go forward. Get right with God today. God says, I'm going to spew thee out of my mouth. Disgusting. It's like putting tepid water in your mouth when you want cold water. You know, and just spit it out. It makes you sick. If you want hot tea, you don't want it almost cold. And if you want cold water, you don't want it almost hot. It makes you sick. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, they would give tepid water to a child or something to make them throw up if they needed to throw up. It makes you sick. Drinking lukewarm water. This kind of life makes Jesus vomit. It's about as clear as you can make it. You think about your life. I have to think about my own. Where's your life now? Is it hot or is it cold? Because there's no in between. That's lukewarm. And Jesus said, I'm sick of that. That makes me sick. He takes no delight in it. I can guarantee you that. In verse 17, he says, because thou sayest, I am rich. This is what we say. When he says, I'm sick of it, I want to spew you out of my mouth, you say, no, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We tell God, I'm all right. Everything's okay. And he says, no, it's not. You might think it is, but God knows it's not. You think you're getting away with something, and God says you're not. This kind of life that says, I'm okay, I'm rich, and I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. John 15:5 said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So no matter how much you think you're serving God or doing something for God, or you got one foot in the world and one foot in Christ, you can do nothing without him. You're either in or you're backslidden. This in-between stuff, God says, makes me sick. This uncaring attitude, and that is the church today. You know why I know that? Because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said, in the latter days, they're going to depart from the faith. Shall the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes? I hope we all get a good punch in the back or wherever, in their kidney, boom. And say, where's my life today? Not for Pastor, not for Dan, not for anybody else, but for God. Where is my life today? I don't want to make Jesus sick. I want to be on fire for God. I want to be different than the world, I hope so. But I want to be different from the church that's just languishing in its compromising state. I got all I need, Lord, and I don't need you right now. I'll take care of this one. Really? Jesus says, you're wretched. That means you're poor, miserable, and enduring afflictions you're not even sure. You're not even aware of it. That you are going farther and farther away from God. He says you're poor. You're like a beggar. You're like a spiritual beggar. Miserable. The word just means you're pitiful. We are pitiful when we come to this place. It's the way God sees us. He would be saying, you are miserable. We don't see the condition that we're in. He said, you're blind. You can't see your own predicament. You have no discernment. You can't even judge your own life now. That's why we need this book. Because when we get into this book, he gives us a good slap across the face and says, this is where you are, Dan. Do something about it. Because we can't see it. And you're naked. You're uncovered. You're unarmed. You're exposed to every ploy and dart from the devil. Every fiery arrow there, he wants to fire at us. Look back in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I call it being exposed to a full frontal attack. The devil has full reign, and he can come right into my life and destroy it. And destroy it. I won't share with you what I found out this morning and some people that I know back in the States. The devil has destroyed their life. And you know what the people do? They blame everybody but themselves. And that's what we do as Christians. We'll blame everybody else but ourselves. But the devil has destroyed their life. You think you're going to be okay, but the devil is stronger than you. But he's not stronger than Jesus. In 1 Peter 5:8 it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your foe, you're in the ring, in this corner is Dennis Lenihan. And in this corner is the devil. And he's 6'5", 300 pounds, and there ain't no fat on him. And he's going to tear Dennis up, unless Dennis brings his big brother in, Jesus. He says, you take care of him. And the devil runs. But without your big brother, without walking with God, you are exposed to a full frontal attack. And he will take you down. He will destroy your life. Jesus said, I came to give them life more abundantly. The devil's a thief, he's a liar. And he can steal everything out of your life and destroy your life. Because he's our adversary, the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Why do you think he used a lion, not a pussy cat? A lion. God's not playing games. He's trying to tell us that some of us here are just getting by. We're just right on the edge here. We're just doing enough. And we're real close to getting spewed out of the mouth of the Lord. I wouldn't want to see that happen. You need to get back to God. Take a close look at your life. Because I have to take a close look at my life. But he tells us what he wants us to do. Go back to Revelation. Revelation chapter 3. I'm glad he doesn't leave us there. Because I'm looking at some of your faces and it's like, you look like deer in the headlights. What do we do now? Well, I'm thankful Jesus tells me what to do. Don't leave me here. Because I feel pitiful. I'm blind and naked. What do I do now? Well, he tells us what to do. But do you hear his voice? Because he's going to tell us, Jesus, what he wants us to do. In verse 18, he says, I counsel thee. Is that wonderful words? Let me tell you what to do. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And he says, I have some advice and some counsel for you. Would you listen? Would you listen? Amen. Take action right now before it's too late. Because when the engine light comes on, it comes on for a reason. And if the oil light comes on, you better pull over and put oil in it. Because a car doesn't drive without oil in it. And your life, you might be going along without any power in your life. The Holy Spirit has just backed off. And he's grieving. But you have no power in your life and you're going farther and farther away from God. Jesus said, I'm going to give you some counsel. I want to tell you some things that you need and you can't get them anywhere else. You can only get them from me, Jesus. Okay? You need to go shopping. Ladies, you're going to love this. You need to go shopping for gold. You need to go shopping for gold. That means you need to start living by faith. You need to start really trusting God, because back in Hebrews it says, unbelieving hearts, departing from the living God. You need to go shopping for faith that is tried and it's been trusted and it's been purified. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Hold your finger here. Just go back a few books. 1 Peter chapter 1. We need to start living by faith. Not by sight. That's where this... By living by sight, by the flesh, has got you into the predicament you're in now. You need to live by faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, even as you live by faith and go through some things, I'm just going to keep trusting you, God, and he makes it purer and better and more tried and trusted, that faith. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We need to start living by faith. How am I going to do that, Dan? What does the Lord tell us? Where do we find faith? In the Bible. In the Bible. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. So we need to buy gold. We need to buy the truth. We need to start reading, studying, and living our Bible. You say, I already know that. Good. Then why are you in the predicament you're in? Because we're not living our Bible. We're not walking by faith. It doesn't change. It's the same thing in every generation. We need this book. This is what's going to keep us from a compromising, carnal, lukewarm Christian life. The more you read it, the more you try to live it, the closer you get to the Lord. You need truth. That's the gold. Proverbs 23:23. Turn there, would you please? Proverbs 23:23. Look what it says in Proverbs 23:23. Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Here in Proverbs 23:23 it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Why? Because they're costly and they're precious. Something that we need to hold on to is this book. This book is going to help us walk with God. Buy it and sell it not. How many times have we just said, and put the Bible away, and it gathers dust? Have you taken a look at your life when you do that? This book has a cleansing agent built right into it. The Holy Spirit uses this book to cleanse our lives. First thing you need to do is go shopping for some gold. Start living by faith. How do you do that? Get back into this Bible. Stop pretending like you're in the Bible and get into the Bible. Live it. Read it and live it. Don't just say you're reading the Bible. Read the Bible. Because it's evident to the Lord that many of us aren't. And we're compromisers. The next thing we need to do is white raiment. You see back in Revelation chapter 3? What does he mean? Revelation chapter 3. How are we going to be rich? Buy some gold. Get back into this book and live by faith. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that we wouldn't be naked. We need to get some white raiment. We need to start living the book. We need to start living a holy life. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. It's just basic stuff that the Lord is trying to tell this church. Get back to the basics. Get back to what you know when you first got saved. You were told to read the Bible, to live the Bible, and you're not doing it now. And you're carnal Christians, and you're making me sick with your life. That's Jesus talking. You know, in Revelation 3 and in verse 4, when he talks to the church at Sardis, and he says, I know your works also, but look in verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. There's some of you there at the church anyway in Sardi that haven't defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. We need to start living right. Now look, when you go home and the lights are out or nobody's around, God still knows what's going on. God knows what kind of life you're living. God knows the thoughts that we think. It doesn't happen to all of us. But we need to get it out of our lives. We need to realize it for what it is. It's causing us to get farther and farther away from God. And he says, put back on a pure life. Put back on holy living. That's going to clothe your nakedness. Because right now, your nakedness, you're uncovered. Everyone and almost everyone can see you. Your standards have dropped. And you're living out there in the world calling yourself a Christian. It's anything goes for some Christians. Are you kidding me? I lived that way before I got saved. Not when I'm saved. I have a new master. And his name is Jesus Christ. And I'm supposed to live for him. Anything doesn't go anymore. I can't do what I used to do. And I don't want to. Because I try to stay in this book and live this book. And when I fail, I go to him. And I ask forgiveness. But you need to put this white raiment on, a holy life. Let me tell you, it'll show outwardly what's happening inwardly. It's going to show, and it's going to affect your family. Turn to Psalm 101, verse 2. Hold your finger here. Just turn to Psalm 101. It's going to affect your family. You're not kidding anybody. Psalm 101 and verse 2 says, I will behave myself wisely. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. David said, I need to walk in my house. Why? Because there's people all around me that are looking to me to live a holy life. I need this white raiment. So I'm going to behave myself wisely. I'm making the decision to change my ways. I'm not going to keep going down the road that I'm going. Too many people are being affected by the way I live my life. And I don't want that to happen. I don't want them to be able to point the finger back at me. Back in Revelation. Back in Revelation chapter 3. You need to anoint your eyes. And anoint thine eyes, in verse 18, with eye salve, that thou mayest see. These eyes need to be consecrated. That means set apart for God. In the world today, that is not easy. No matter where you go, there's going to be things that you see that you shouldn't be seeing. No matter where you go. And as the weather warms up, the clothes come off. Thankfully, Ireland's a little cooler. Thankfully, we're not in Florida. Where it's really hot. And people just take off all their clothes. Why? We need to be careful. You talk about Christians too. Start dressing wrong. But we need to anoint our eyes. And we need to see everything in light of this Bible. That's what we need to anoint our eyes with. This Bible. And then we will start to see everything the way God sees it. And we'll see it for what it is. Something that we need to put away and get out of our life. But once we get our eyes anointed with the Bible and start rubbing them with the eye salve of the Word of God, we'll be able to see more clearly where we're at and what we need to do, make the right decisions and make the right choices, because we've all made bad choices. But once we get the Bible back into our life, we can start making good choices again. And then finally, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Just remember that God loves you. Jesus loves you. He doesn't want to leave you where you're at. He wants us to come back to Him, to repent, to turn from the way that we're going, change our mind and our attitude about our sin and our carnal life, and turn back to Him. The same way we would discipline our children, He's going to discipline us. He's going to chastise us. Why? For our good. Because He loves us. He says if He doesn't chastise us, then we're bastards. We're illegitimate. We're not really Christians. But if He does chastise you, it's because He loves you and you're one of His. You wouldn't let your children do things that are wrong. You would correct them and discipline, chastise them. Now, where's the Lord right now? Back in Revelation, in verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Where is he right now? He's standing at the door. He's right there. He's just waiting. I mean, he's here right now. No matter what happens in your life, he's still there. David said, if I go to heaven, he's there. If I put my bed in hell, he's there. No matter where I go, God's there. And he's right outside the door of your heart right now. Proverbs 15:13 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So the Lord is there. He's right here. When no one else is around, he's there. He says, I stand at the door. Who is speaking? Jesus. Who's he speaking to? The church. He's speaking to us. Not the unsaved. He's speaking to us. And he's right outside. Acts 20:28 says he shed his blood for the church. He loves the church. Wouldn't it be a shame if Jesus is out there and he's not in here? He says, you're having a great meeting. You're hearing the preaching. But I'm out there and I'm knocking. You guys going to let me in? I'd love to be a part of the meeting. If you'd let me in, I want Jesus here more than anything. And if he's in your heart, that means he's here. He might be right outside your heart. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 22:37, to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. You say, I know that verse. I memorize that verse. Do you love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind and with all your strength? Do you love him like that right now? And he's outside your home. You know, Proverbs, Psalm 127:1. Let's turn there. Psalm 127:1. I mean, I'm hoping whoever this falls on their ears, that they listen to this. This verse of Scripture, Psalm 127:1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. I don't care how much effort you put into it. If you're not doing it God's way, it's going to fall apart. It's not the right way. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. So God's got to build the house. Is he building your home, or is he outside your home because of what's going on in your home? What are you allowing in your home? You say, I'm okay. What about the kids? What about you? What about your wife? What about everything that's in your home? Or does Jesus have to stand outside and say, I can't go in there? It's defiled. It's dirty. It's impure. Is he outside of your home and not in your home? Is he outside of your heart and not in your heart? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. Proverbs 20:7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. Whatever happened to integrity? Whatever happened to men who had integrity? His children are blessed after him. Blessed children. Because of what we do. Because of our example. What can you do today to change the environment in your home? What can you do today to change the environment in your home? The focus is on you. What can you do to change the environment in your home? You know, he wants to come in. And it's up to us to open the door. He gives the invitation and he wants us to come in. He wants to come in, but it's up to us. He doesn't force himself into our life. The Holy Spirit does not force himself on us. He's waiting to be asked. He's waiting for repentance. He's waiting for a broken and contrite heart that says, Lord, I'm away from you, but I desperately need you. And I'm opening the door. Would you forgive me and fill me like you used to? And I'll take the changes that I have to make in my life. You can have fellowship again with the Lord. Isaiah 57:15 says, he's the Holy One that inhabiteth eternity, but also a contrite heart. He's as big as the universe. In fact, bigger. That's just his footstool. But he's also wants to live in our heart if it's contrite and broken. He can have fellowship with God. He can soften the hardest heart. But you have to turn to him. He can fix broken families. He can fix broken families. He can do that. It's whether we want him to. We have to open the door. We have to open the door and let him come in. And if we let him in, as hard as it is in the beginning, to follow God and start making some changes in the environment of your home and in your own life, as hard as it is, your faith will be tried, you're going to come forth as gold. He can make those changes in your life and in your home. Can you give me a few minutes? I want to talk to some people here. Ask you if you're saved. I don't care whether you're in church. I don't care whether you go to church every Sunday. Matters not. Are you saved? Are you saved? Because there is a hell to avoid. There is a literal burning hell in the center of the earth. Right straight down. If you could go down there, you'd see it. You'd run into it. It's down there. And the souls of people are down there right now. If we could ever open up the lid of hell, you would hear crying and screaming and torments and wailing like you'd never heard. They're there now. We want to avoid that. And there's a heaven to gain. Absolute peace. Purity. And be with the Son of God forever. Do you see your lost condition without the Lord? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, I was going to read it, but for the sake of time, it just says, they have no hope in the world. No hope. They are lost with no hope. So before I got saved, I was lost with no hope except for Christ. He was my hope. He's the one that came. Now turn to John chapter 5. Turn to John chapter 5. I just picked out some scriptures. It's amazing. They're all in the book of John. Some scriptures that talked about hearing. Just listening. I mean, that's what the whole month's been about. It's not just the sound going in, and Pastor showed us how the ear works, and it goes in and bounces off. It's going in and coming down into our heart. Are you saved today? John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath right then and there hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is that very moment passed from death unto life. The moment you're born again, you are passed at that very moment in an instant, passed from death unto life. And that means that you are now dead in your trespasses and sins if you are not saved here today. You are dead in your spirit. And you will die in your sins. If you die in your sins, you will go to hell. But Jesus said, if you hear my word and believe on him that sent me, you can have everlasting life right now. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Wow. I hear him right now. I hear his voice. I hear the truth. Let me just say, there's only one way to heaven. That's Jesus Christ said, I'm the way. One way. That's it. There's a straight gate. It's a narrow way. And there's only a few that find it, it seems. Many go the broad way. They fall off into hell. They want to do it their way. But you must hear and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior that he says he is. Look at verse 28. Marvel not at this. Don't be amazed at what I'm telling you, Jesus said. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Huh. There's a judgment. There's a resurrection that's coming. There's two resurrections and there's two judgments. Some will leave the grave at the rapture of the saints. My mother's in the ground right now. Her soul is in heaven, but her body is in a grave. Someday, she's going to come up out of the grave and meet her soul in the air. She's going to have a new body. That's one resurrection. That's only for those who are born again here this morning. But those that are not born again have another resurrection. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. There's another resurrection, and it's at the great white throne. Revelation 20. And verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I say amen to that. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the second resurrection of the unsaved. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, you're going to be judged according to your works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. How would you like to be judged according to your works? Oh, thank God I'm saved. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Are you saved? Are you saved here today? Let's finish up in John chapter 10. Just a couple verses and I'm done. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, John 10, 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. You know, you can't climb up to heaven any other way. I don't care how close or how high your ladder goes, you'll never get into heaven by your works or by your baptism or by just going to church or giving money. No matter what you do, he that climbeth up some other way is a thief and a robber. And there'll be no thieves or robbers in heaven. You'll get all the way to the top and he's going to cast you down again. Because no one gets into heaven by their own works. It's all by faith and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how sincere you are about what you're trusting in. If you're not trusting in Jesus Christ as the only Savior, you are sincerely wrong. And I say that with a broken heart, but upon the truth of the Bible. There's only one way. I don't care what you're trusting in. If it's not Jesus Christ, it's not Bible. It's a false gospel. See in verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. How do the sheep go in? Through me. Because I am the door of the sheep. You remember back in Exodus chapter 12? You remember when the children of Israel were told to put the blood over the post? The lintel and the post? Because the death angel was coming? They put the blood over it of the innocent lamb? They put the blood of the lamb over the door. What did they do? They went in. Under the door. Under the blood. And all that were inside were saved. Has the blood been applied to your life? If it has, you're saved. and you're safe from the judgment. If not, you're not safe. And the death angel is going to come. But in verse 8 it says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. Have you ever had freedom like you have now in Jesus and find pasture? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus has already given his life. Do you hear his voice this morning? Salvation is a gift and it's never too late. And it can't be taken back once you have it. You need to take heed this morning because sin is deceitful. It lies to you. The devil's a liar and a deceiver, and sin is a liar and a deceiver. You think you're okay? And you have sin in your life? You're not. I tell you right now, you're not. None of us are. Jesus knows our works. Jesus knows where you are right now. He knows where I am. He knows my works. And he knows what we are. Some of us are lukewarm. Some of us are hot. Some of us are cold. Some of us, we really can't tell. But Jesus knows, and it makes him sick. That's the church today, just getting by. And the church isn't the building. The church is us. That's who he's talking to, us. And he tells us what to do. We need to go shopping. Get some truth. Have some faith. Get into this Bible again. Rub it in your eyes and into your life. Cover the nakedness with some pure, holy living for a change. Where is he right now in your life? Are you saved this morning? Are you saved this morning? Let's all stand and bow our heads. Close our eyes, please. Will you hear and obey what the Spirit says this morning? Everyone, no one talking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. Let people deal with God right now. We don't want to be talking. We just want to be talking to God. Do you hear his voice this morning? If you did, why don't you invite him in? Why don't you say, Lord, I'm as sick of it as you are now. I hate my carnal life. I hate my lukewarm life. I want to be hot. I want to do something for you, Lord. He's at the door of your heart right now knocking. Speaking. Do you hear him? Do you hear it? He's the door to eternal life. Why don't you open that door and let him in, Christian? If you're unsaved here today, why don't you open the door and let him in? Why don't you ask him to save you? Heavenly Father, I'm not asking for a show of hands, Lord. You know who's saved and who's not. You know who's close to you and who's not. You know my heart, and you know every heart in here. But Lord, there's no doubt that there's some lukewarm Christians among us, all of us. There's some that are hot and there's some that are cold. And there's some here that aren't saved. I don't care how much, I don't know what's going on in their life, but I know this, that they might not be saved. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts and that we would open the door. Here you are standing, knocking, wanting to come in, wanting to do something in our lives, and we just shut you out. Well, we have nothing else to look forward to but the destroyer. He's going to ruin our lives. I pray, Father, we'd make a choice this morning and not be spewed out of your mouth, but to let you in and rekindle the fire again in our hearts and in our life. Our lives depend upon it. Our homes depend upon it. And yes, the church and the salvation of others out there that are lost depends upon our life and how we're living it. I pray, Father, you speak to every heart this morning. These are your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you open your hymnals, please, to...